Jashodanandana Braja Janaranjana Jashodanandana Braja Janaranjana Jamuna Tira Bonacha Jamuna Tira Bonachari Jaya Radha Madhava Punya Vihari Jaya Radha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nittai Gaur Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo, Hari Bo. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Prabhupada. জয়ং বিষ্ণুপাদ পরমহংস পরিব্রাজকাচার্য অষ্টোত্তর শত শ্রী শ্রীমদ অভয় চরণারবিন্দ ভক্তি বেদান্ত স্বামী প্রভুপাদ কি জয়, অনন্ত কোটি বৈষ্ণব বৃন্দ কি জয়, নামাচার্য শিল হরিদাস ঠাকুর কি জয়, প্রেম সে কহ শ্রীকৃষ্ণ চৈতন্য প্রভু নিত্যানন্দ শ্রী অদ্বৈত গদাধর শিবাসাদি গৌর ভক্ত বৃন্দ কি জয়, শ্রী শ্রী রাধা কৃষ্ণ গোপ গোপীনাথ শ্যামকুণ্ড রাধা কুণ্ড গিরি গোবর্ধন কি জয়, শ্রী বৃন্দাবন ধাম কি জয়, শ্রী মথুরা ধাম কি জয়, শ্রী জগন্নাথ পুরী ধাম কি জয়, শ্রী মায়াপুর নবদ্বীপ ধাম কি জয়, গঙ্গা মাই কি জয়, যমুনা মাই কি জয়, ভক্তি দেবী কি জয়, তুলসী মহারানী কি জয়, হরিনাম সংকীর্তন কি জয়, সমবেত ভক্তবৃন্দ কি জয়, গৌর প্রেমানন্দে হরি হরি বোল। অল গ্লোরিজ টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বল ডিভোটিজ, অল গ্লোরিজ টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বল ডিভোটিজ, অল গ্লোরিজ টু দ্য অ্যাসেম্বল ডিভোটিজ, অল গ্লোরিজ টু শ্রী গুরু অ্যান্ড শ্রী গৌরাঙ্গ, অল গ্লোরিজ টু শ্রীল প্রভুপাদ। নম ওং বিষ্ণুপদায় কৃষ্ণপৃষ্ঠায় ভূতলে শ্রীমতে ভক্তিবেদান্ত স্বামী নীতি নামিনে, নমস্তে সরস্বতী দেবে গৌরবাণী প্রচারিণে, নির্বিশেষ শূন্যবাদী পাশ্চাত্যাদিশতারিণে। হরে কৃষ্ণ। সো টুডে ইজ দ্য লাস্ট ডে অফ আওয়ার রিট্রিট and the last session of our seminar, and I hope you have appreciated this or learned something from these sessions. And as I mentioned earlier, that I started these retreats about 5 years ago when I had a sort of a heart attack, and then the doctor told me to not to travel. Now for me not to travel is not possible, was not possible. So at that time I thought that at least I can go to different places and not travel that extensively, and like I would go to one place and let everybody come there. And that's what I also wrote to my disciples and friends, that all this while I have been traveling to meet you, now you travel to meet me. The first session we had was in Switzerland, in a very beautiful location. It was a skiing resort on top of a mountain. And we booked up one hotel and turned that hotel into an ashram and temple. Their banquet hall was our temple room. The dining hall became our classroom, and like that, like it was very nice. And devotees came from different parts of Europe. Then I think the next one I had was in Orlando in America, and many of you came. Anyway, that's how I started it. Practically every year I was doing it at different places, mainly one in Europe, one in America, one in South Africa, one in Australia, one in India. And so that's how it has been going on for the last 5 years, or maybe 4 years. No, I think it's 5 years. This is the 5th year running. And last year I didn't have this retreat in America. And so this year we invited you all and I came. I feel very happy. The topic was a little new topic. All these years I was giving the seminars on mainly on story-based topics. The first one I did was Ramayana. Then the next one was Mahabharata. And anyway, in this way, mainly they were story-based. And the topics were actually rather simple. And my basic objective was that you all get to know what we are pursuing, what is our objective. And that was Ramayana and Mahabharata mainly were the basis. Mahabharata is the main topic for us. But I selected Ramayana first because if we did Mahabharata, then there wouldn't be any room for Ramayana. Therefore, I thought Ramayana first and then go to Mahabharata. Anyway, and but this time I selected a topic which is more philosophical than, or rather, instruction-based topic. Like Krishna's instruction to Uddhava, and I was a little doubtful at the beginning how the response will be, and I must admit that I was very impressed with the response. I saw that no one actually fell asleep, and. Also many nice questions came up and these interactive exchanges are very beneficial, very effective. And sometimes in course of questions answers I may have been a little heavy. I hope you all won't mind it. You see, my business is to be heavy. Guru, there are two expressions, Laghu and Guru. Laghu means light, Guru means heavy. It's a Sanskrit word. That's of course one way to look at it. The other meaning of Guru is one who removes darkness. Guru. One who removes darkness. Either way, either to remove darkness, you have to push the darkness out. You have to push the ignorance away. So the pushing means heavy. And also, when you are assuming the role of a teacher, you have to be heavy. I remember in my school, the teacher who was heavy, we were very careful about doing our homeworks properly. And those who are light, we are not very attentive. They're popular, but study-wise, so and anyway, and so I hope I did not offend anybody in course of my presentation. So I was actually thinking of doing some more of these sessions, I mean more of these chapters from Uddhava Gita, But then I thought I would rather take these sessions for more interaction, question answers maybe, and emphasize the basic objective of this Bhagavad, of this Uddhav Gita. Like any other scriptural instructions, these instructions are based on reminding us about what the goal of life is. And the ultimate goal of life is pure devotion to Krishna. Uddhav Gita is very, very emphatically making that point. And I expect that you will now read this Uddhav Gita on your own. I hope that all of you have a set of Srimad Bhagavatam at home, so that also includes the 11th canto. 11th canto was not translated by Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada did only up to the 14th chapter of the 10th canto of Bhagavad Gita. I'm sorry, Srimad Bhagavatam. And the rest of Srimad Bhagavatam was translated and purported by a group of Prabhupada disciples. And mainly it was Gopi Paranadhana Prabhu, one of our god brothers, very scholarly. Actually, it amazes me to see how brilliant these devotees were. Like Gopi Paranadhana Prabhu is from America. He's an American. And he didn't study Sanskrit in school or college. He didn't have any exposure to Sanskrit otherwise. But after coming in contact with Srila Prabhupada, on his own he started to study Sanskrit. And he became a scholar. On his own, right? It kind of amazes me, like, how it's possible. And in a way, we have to also remember that Prabhupada pointed out that devotees often carry on from their previous life. And like, as you know, Jara Bharat, in his previous life, he was King Bharat. Similarly, Bhishma Dev was a Basu, one of the demigods. And like that, like devotees, we first of all, we know the concept of reincarnation. The spirit soul never dies. Tatha dehantara praptir. At the time of death or after death, dehantara. Spirit soul takes up another body. So this way, spirit soul transmigrates from one body to another body. And so many of our devotees must be continuing from their previous life. And in future also many of our devotees will continue into other bodies that will be involved in Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada also mentioned that my Guru Maharaj sent you all. When Prabhupada was addressing his disciples in America, I think it was in New York City temple. It was a Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's Vyas Puja celebration. And Prabhupada mentioned that my Guru Maharaj sent you all. And not only Prabhupada said that, Prabhupada broke down crying after that. So how, with so much feelings, Prabhupada had admitted that. So that means these devotees who came to assist Srila Prabhupada, and also many devotees who will continue to assist Srila Prabhupada in his mission, are coming from previous background where they had been devotees, and now they came to assist Srila Prabhupada's mission. And many devotees will continue to assist ISKCON movement in the future. So, anyway, to go back to that point, so Gopi Paranadhana Prabhu was the main person who was doing the translation and purporting. These purports were actually given from the writings of previous acharyas. That's what Srila Prabhupada also used to do. Prabhupada used to read the commentaries of previous acharyas, and based on their commentaries, Prabhupada used to give his commentary. And these devotees, a group of devotees, like Gopi Paranadhana Prabhu, next is of course Hridayananda Maharaj, Dravida Prabhu. Jayadita Maharaj was mainly doing the editing. Oh yeah. Keshav Bharati Maharaj. So these were the devotees. As a team, they worked on the purports and translation. And so the 11th canto was their presentation. And they mainly translated other acharyas' commentaries. They hardly gave any commentary themselves. That's why you will notice, like, many of these don't have, many of the verses of the 11th canto didn't have any commentary. Doesn't have any commentary. So that's because the previous acharyas did not give any commentary. Whereas Prabhupada gave his commentary practically on every single verse. Prabhupada actually wanted to translate Srimad Bhagavatam in 60 volumes. With 30 volumes, he had done up to 9th canto, and Prabhupada wanted to write another 60 volumes. No, I think up to 9th canto is about 28 volumes or so. And then Prabhupada wanted to translate the 10th canto with 30 volumes, in 30 volumes. He wanted to give extensive commentary on Krishna's pastimes in 10th canto. And then two or three volumes for 11th and 12th canto. So 11th canto for us is very important, because 11th canto is giving the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. The essence of entire Srimad Bhagavatam is in the 11th canto. Up to 10th canto we find, so 10th canto ends with Krishna's pastime. 10th canto is quite elaborate, has 90 chapters in 10th canto. 10th canto describes Krishna's Vrindavan Leela, Mathura Leela and Dwarka Leela. Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, Mathura and Dwarka. So they have been quite, those pastimes are very elaborately described in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. So 10th canto is the Samam Bonam. 10th canto is the ultimate point of Srimad Bhagavatam. And 10th canto describes the activities and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In 10th canto it has been made clear who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Generally people think that Narayan is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishnu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishna was an incarnation of Vishnu. Incarnation of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. Actually, Kshirodakshayi Vishnu is the origin of all incarnations in the planet Earth, in the material nature. All the incarnations are expansions of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu or manifestations of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. Mahavishnu or Karanodakshayi Vishnu, Garbhodakshayi Vishnu and Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. Kshirodakshayi Vishnu is the presence of Vishnu in this planet. And he is the super soul of all living entities. And he is also the origin of all the incarnations in the material nature. When Krishna comes in the material nature to serve some purpose, then he expands as an incarnation. And that in those incarnations are the expansions of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. Many people think that Krishna is an incarnation of Kshirodakshayi Vishnu. But from the 11th canto or from Srimad Bhagavatam, we get to know that Krishna is not an incarnation, but Krishna is the origin of all incarnations. At the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, this point has been established. Ete changsha kala pungsha, Krishna stu Bhagavan swayam. Krishna is swayam Bhagavan. Swayam Bhagavan. And eti changsha kala pungsha, all these incarnations are Krishna's parts and parts of the parts. But Krishna is Bhagavan Swayam, the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that is how Srimad Bhagavatam is actually revealing the identity of Krishna. And what is the relationship between living entity and the Supreme Personality of Godhead? That of a master and servant. Krishna is the Supreme Lord and Master, whereas the living entities are his fragmental or tiny, atomic parts and parcels, very small. So Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead and living entities are parts and parcels. So what's their relationship? What is the relationship between the master and his subordinate? Servant. So Krishna is the Supreme Lord. He is the master. Then what is our relationship with him? As that of a servant. Jibesh Swarup Hoy Krishner Nityadas. Living entities are Krishna's eternal servants. Nityadas. That position always remains. That position never changes. Krishna is always the Lord. But Vrindavan has a different characteristic. Yes, Krishna is the Lord and Master. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Lord and Master. But Vrindavan is a region where Krishna is not the Lord and Master. And that's why Vrindavan is so special. In Vrindavan, Krishna is a friend. In Vrindavan, Krishna is a baby. Krishna is a child. And Vrindavan, Krishna is a paramour, lover. Transcendental Romeo. And actually, that's what Krishna is. Now, Krishna assumes these roles in Vrindavan in order to enable his devotees to develop some very special relationships. Those special relationships are relationships as a friend, friendship, relationship as a child, son, in parental relationship. The devotees are treating Krishna as their own child, just as the parents treat their children. And a relationship like that of a loving relationship between a young boy and a young girl. Not a young boy with a young girl, rather a young boy with many other young girls. Now, the consideration is, friendship takes place. Okay, friendship takes place between the equals. Parental relationship is between the superior and subordinate. And conjugal relationship is between young boys and girls. Now, friendship. Who can become equal to God to become his friend? Can anybody become equal to God? No. Anyway, in friendship, has to become equal to God. But in parental, God has become junior, inferior. How can anybody be superior to God? And how can anybody treat God as a boyfriend? So these kind of relationships otherwise is not possible. In Vaikuntha, these relationships are not possible. In Vaikuntha, no one is Krishna's friend. In Vaikuntha, no one is Krishna's father. In Vaikuntha, no one is Krishna's girlfriend. But these three relationships are there. So how to develop these relationships? Now, in order to enable his devotees to develop these relationships, Krishna made a very special arrangement in a very special area in spiritual sky called Vrindavan. There, one cannot become equal to Krishna, but Krishna can become equal to somebody. No one can be superior to Krishna, but Krishna can become subordinate to somebody. He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If he wants, he can do that. So Vrindavan is the region where Krishna has done that. But in order to do that, Krishna had to make everybody forget that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Because if the devotees recognize him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how could he? How could they treat him in that way? A simple consideration can be this. Like friends, what do? They wrestle. The friends, that's one of the games. At least in India, the children do that. Especially in the villages. They wrestle. And in this wrestling bout, there is a condition that whoever loses has to carry the winner on his back. Now, in some wrestling bout, Krishna loses. And then the friend demands that now Krishna will have to carry him on his back. Krishna refuses to do that, saying that he was not defeated. He slipped on a banana peel and the friend jumped on him and claimed that he won. That's not fair. So Krishna refuses to carry him on his back. Then the friend also won't let him go. He said, Krishna, after so much struggle, I defeated you, and now you're saying that you are not defeated, you are giving the excuse that you've slipped on a banana peel and so you have to carry me. Krishna is nothing doing, I won't carry you. So they get into a fight. And then the friend forces his way onto Krishna's back. Now just imagine, to force your way onto Krishna's back, what he had to do? He had to step on Krishna's body, then climb onto Krishna's back. Now, which devotee will ever dare to put his foot on the deity on the altar, on Krishna's body in the altar? Will anybody ever dare to do that? Especially a devotee, will he ever dare to do that? No. Now in Vrindavan they can do that because they have forgotten that Krishna is God. If they remembered that Krishna was God, then they couldn't do that. So that is the specialty of Vrindavan. The parents tell Krishna, Nanda Maharaj said, Krishna, can you please bring my shoes? And little Krishna, what he does, he can't carry them, quite big, quite heavy. So he picks them up, puts them on his head, carries. Now who will ever allow the Supreme Personality of Godhead to carry his shoes on his head? Mother Yashoda, with a stick in her hand, chases him to chastise him. Who will ever dare to do that to the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Therefore, in order to treat the Lord in that way, one had to forget that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now again, forgetfulness are of two types. One is forgetfulness out of ignorance. We don't remember, therefore we forget. That's one kind of forgetfulness, out of ignorance. But there is another kind of forgetfulness that is out of love. For example, the son has become a state president. But does the mother treat the son like a state president? No. She treats him like her own son. So, not that she does not know that her son is a state president, but it's not important to her. She doesn't remember that. She doesn't care for that. This is another kind of forgetfulness. So in Vrindavan, it's not that they don't know Krishna to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But to them, due to their intense love for Krishna, they forget that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If they remembered that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they couldn't treat Krishna the way they did. So that is Vrindavan. Therefore, Vrindavan is a very special region where the love is a predominating factor, not opulence. Opulence means recognizing Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the Supreme Controller. He is the Supreme Proprietor. He is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. Then automatically what will be the attitude? Oh my Lord, please accept my humble obeisances. Please allow me to serve you. Please allow me to become your eternal servant. That is the mood in Vaikuntha, where the Supreme Personality of Godhead is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in Vrindavan, he is not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is a cowherd boy. We may have a reverential attitude to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but with a cowherd boy, hi buddy, how are you doing? That is the attitude that one naturally develops because of his situation. He's a cow. He's not a cow. He's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He's a cowherd boy. That's how they're looking at him. That's how they're seeing him. That's how they're treating him. And then Krishna also is reciprocating in that. My friend, I'm prepared to do anything for you. What can I do for you? How can I serve you? So that is their attitude in Vrindavan. So that's why Vrindavan is a very special region. So understanding the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be complete without recognizing Him the way He is in Vrindavan. And that is why Srimad Bhagavatam is so important. The goal of Srimad Bhagavatam is not Vaikuntha. The goal of Srimad Bhagavatam is Braj, Vrindavan, beyond Vaikuntha. Actually, Krishna Himself considered that now that I have revealed my Vrindavan pastimes, how will anybody ever understand what this pastime is like? What's the specialty of this pastime? People don't understand Vrindavan. Therefore Krishna came as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to make us understand what's the specialty of Vrindavan. How special are these relationships? Is Vrindavan below Vaikuntha or above Vaikuntha? So that is what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to tell us. So that is why Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be completed, understanding of Srimad Bhagavatam cannot be completed without understanding Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Krishna is giving some understanding to Uddhav at the end of his instruction. Krishna tells Uddhav very clearly that the goal of life is to serve Him following the residence of Vrindavan, serving following the mood of the gopis. That is the highest form of devotion. So that point Krishna made very, very clear. But as I was saying, that has been most wonderfully revealed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. That's where Krishna came as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Just to make us understand what Braja Leela is, was the specialty of Braja Leela. So as I mentioned earlier, please make it a point to read Srimad Bhagavatam, especially this, what you discussed in the 11th canto. Please read them carefully and if you have any question, you can let me know. Like you can write to me in my email. And so now that we are here, before depending upon the internet or postal system, let's just see if you have any question. Yes, Sudhakar. That's a big topic. Maybe I should give a seminar on that topic someday. Okay, briefly. Okay, the question is, I want to know about the destiny of a soul, karmic reactions, and relationship between parents and children, right? Like how the souls take birth in some parenthood. And also how seven generations get delivered. And in simple words, I will say that about these seven generations getting delivered, etc., it's better to just accept what the scriptures are telling us. Because these are certain things that we cannot directly or experimentally verify. Can you travel your seven generations? You won't be able to. Neither in the past nor in the future. Right? Therefore, at some point, we have to just leave it at, well, scriptures are saying that, so I accept it. The karmic reaction is like, that is rather simple to understand. To every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. So that is not only a principle of physics dealing with matter. It also applies to living entities. As you sow, so shall you reap. As you act accordingly, you will get the reaction of your action. And on that, based on that, due to that, the living entities are transmigrating from one body to another. Now, as you say, then the next thing that you asked, the father and children. You see, here again is a consideration of karma. Like, certain individual with a specific karma comes in contact with a specific parentage. And as a result of that, he gets some specific reaction. Or that reaction takes him to some parent and makes him act in a certain way. So that is the, like the soul, parent's soul and child's soul, offspring's soul, do not have any spiritual connection. This connection is karmic connection, right? The spiritual connection is established only when the activities are on the spiritual platform. All right? Okay. Take the mic so that everybody can hear. Sometimes? What kind of relationship? Okay. Yeah. Well, somewhere in the past, your father did something, and you did something, and as a result of your result of that, you're acting in a certain way. Right? So we have to, you know, like that's what, you know, when you read this 11th canto, you will see that that point will become very clear. That whatever is happening to us in this material platform is simply a result of karma being controlled by the guna. We are acting and the reactions are taking place due to the modes of material nature. And no one is, like sometimes it's said that, you know, we are helpless. We are not doers. We are actually acting, being directed by guna and karma. Our situation is like a puppet. We are thinking that we are dancing, but it's the puppeteer that makes us dance. What is the puppeteer? The puppeteers are the demigods. And the strings with which he's controlling the puppet are the modes of material nature. And we are dancing according to our karma. Right? Karmic reactions are making us dance in a specific way. In simple words, somebody is born in a very opulent family because in his past he has done a lot of pious activities. As a result of pious activities, one get birth in aristocratic family, opulent family. He gets beautiful appearance, shri. He gets opulence, wealth, due to his pious activities, and knowledge. Janma, Aisharja, Shruta, Shribhi. On the other hand, if one acts in an impious way, sinful way, then he is subjected to, you know, poverty-stricken condition, difficulties in material life, and so forth. Main point is nothing happens by chance or accident. Everything is happening due to this divine arrangement of guna and karma. Prakrite kriyamanani, gunai karmani sarvasa. Everything is happening according to the arrangement of guna and karma. But ahankaro bimuratma kartaha miti mannate. Being bewildered by his false ego, one thinks that he is the doer. Sometimes? Non? That can be a very dangerous venture. Because it's something like, I'll just give you an example. Say, you have got admitted in a university to study medicine. Then what do you do? The university gives you the syllabus. These are the books that you must study, right? And the teachers direct you according to those books. Now, if you disregard those books and the teachings of those teachers and try to get some books on the market, how will you end up? You may think that it is a very wise endeavor, but you'll simply complicate your studies. When you are studying a subject in an university, follow the course. Why decide your own course? Why think that you know better than the university faculty? Give up that attitude, give up that tendency, be submissive. Submissive means to surrender. Everybody's main problem is independence. So give up your independence. If you want to pursue spiritual life, give up your independence forever. Just submit yourself to the process. Submit yourself to the institution that you're joining. If you don't, then you won't get the desired result. You'll simply complicate your own life. And you'll create disturbance to others. Become submissive. Prabhupada gave the process. Why do you think that you know better than Prabhupada? Then if you think you know better than Prabhupada, then go your own way. Don't come to ISKCON. Rather, if you come to ISKCON, submit to ISKCON. Submit to the process that ISKCON is propagating. You get my point? Yes, Nilamani Prabhu. Very nice, very nice point. No difference. Devaki and Vasudev are there in Dwarka and Mathura, not in Vrindavan. Only Rohini Devi is there in Vrindavan. And only difference between that Vrindavan and earthly Vrindavan is that in that Vrindavan, in spiritual Vrindavan, Golok Vrindavan, Krishna's childhood pastimes are not there. Only in earthly Vrindavan, Krishna's childhood pastimes are there. In earthly Vrindavan, Krishna takes birth and grows up to become a Navakishore. That happens only in earthly Vrindavan. That's why some of our acharyas have commented that earthly Vrindavan, therefore, is superior to Golok Vrindavan. Because certain things that are available in earthly Vrindavan is not available there. They're there as an impression. Like, oh, you know, when Krishna was little boy, he used to do that. That is the mood there. Because Krishna is not present there as a child. Krishna is Navakishore there. You know, just 15 going on 17 or going on 16. There, he doesn't leave, but they have a feeling that Krishna may go to Mathura to kill Kamsa. That's a feeling there. But in this Vrindavan, that happens. But then also, Jiva Goswami pointed out that Krishna doesn't leave Vrindavan. Krishna doesn't even take a step out of Vrindavan. Krishna is always in Vrindavan, but they have a feeling as if Krishna left. And even when they see Krishna face to face, they feel that they were dreaming. That's the only difference. But otherwise, it's a transported. From there, Vrindavan came down to this planet. Thank you. Priya Pallavi. Okay, since the mic is there, let Nanda Dulal have his question, and then let the mic come.
Association and message, and also you actually brought us from the
Yeah, actually you answered your point. Krishna consciousness is the answer. And this caste system and all, you know, they have destroyed the Vedic culture. Brahmanas lost their Brahminical qualities and they still claimed that they are the Brahmanas. And as a result of that, they distorted the whole system. And as a result of that, the Kshatriyas lost respect for the Brahmanas and decided not to follow them, follow the instruction. And that is how the whole thing started. But fortunately, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came. And what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teach? Doesn't matter in which family you are born. Doesn't matter in which caste you are born. Doesn't matter in which country you are born. You have your birthright, your eternal right to develop your loving relationship with Krishna. And that is the ultimate goal of life. Doesn't matter, whatever. Chandalupi dija srishtha hari bhakti parayana. A chandal who is the lowest kind of people. Even he can become superior to a brahmana if he develops his loving relationship with Krishna. Okay, next question. Well, let me go there, that side. Pallavi has the first thing, Mother Krishna Priya, and okay. So many questions today. Let's see. Very good, very good. If possible, at least, you know, guide them, guide your children with proper Krishna consciousness. As a mother, that's your first responsibility. Then let the father guide him. Then let the spiritual master guide him. But all the guidance should be directed towards Krishna. Up to the age of 6 to 8 by the mother, not beyond 8. You know what happens then? Then the child will become effeminate. He'll become too much influenced by the mother. He'll develop mother's qualities. Okay, so this is how guide your children.
Nice.
After 8, let the father take over. and then the devotees of ISKCON allow him to develop relationship with other devotees, get them guidance, and wherever you are, may try to make arrangements that the Sunday school for children, where some devotees can guide them. Make it a point that children below 8 will be taken care of by mothers, and children above 8 will be taken care of by Prabhus. Thank you. Okay, good point. Recently I also had been faced with that question. And you see, considering today's situation, nobody will be able to give 50% of his income. And Prabhupada was very practical. Prabhupada did not say something. Like maybe somebody who is in the temple, living in the temple, where his expenses are taken care of by the temple, he can probably afford to give 50%, but not those who are living outside. So here we have to understand that after, you know, taking care of all their needs, after them taking care of their maintenance, whatever is left over from that, 50% can be given to Krishna conscious cause and so forth. Right? Not just 50% from your chunk. To begin with, the government is practically taking your 50%. Right? And in the Vedic society, that could have been possible. The king would take 50% but use it in Krishna conscious propagation instead of taking the tax. Mother Krishna Priya? Yeah. Thank you for coming and gracing us, blessing us.
So my question pertains to yesterday we were discussing about developing the spiritual body and how the you have a gross and a subtle body, the subtle body disappears. So if there's this, let's say when we're on the altar and we're dressing in beauties, are we actually at that time are we actually like
The process is helping us to dissolve because, you know, meditating on Krishna, mind is absorbed in Krishna. And that's one consideration. And another consideration that is it's a part of Vaidhi Bhakti. Right? You know, like practicing the process of devotion in order to get purified. Right? Yeah, that is there. But following the process also is important, like Adau Gurvashraya, accepting a bona fide spiritual master is also a part of the process. Like, you see, mainly because, you know, the process, the actual objective is to surrender. Now, I will surrender to Krishna, I will surrender to Prabhupada, but I will not surrender to anybody else. No one is qualified. That is kind of, you know, in a way saying that I'm not going to surrender to anybody. That I'll surrender to Prabhupada is just an excuse. Because now that Prabhupada is not here, I'm not subjecting him, myself, to his chastisement. Right? If I surrender to somebody, he will find my faults, and he will chastise me. Right? Prabhupada is not going to do that. Or if anybody has to do that, let Prabhupada come and do that. Right? So no, we need to surrender to somebody who is there. We may take our time to find that person, but at some point in time, we have to find the person and surrender. Thank you. Shraddha? Do you have anything to say? You didn't have any question? I was wondering. Oh, your voice, yeah.
I just want to also express appreciation for this talk. This has been really nice, especially as I mentioned before, some of us have been studying with
Was it helpful? Thank you. Thanks for coming. Thanks for coming. Yeah. So next, why there's so much emphasis on? Okay, just the first, let's see the first question. The importance of Bhagavad Gita is there, naturally. But then from Bhagavad Gita, where we are going? From Bhagavad Gita, we are going to Srimad Bhagavatam. Right? And at the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, we are getting the Uddhava Gita. Right? In that, we are getting the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. All right? Okay, then there was the next question. Well, okay, good. Before you go back to Godhead, while you are practicing devotional service, through that practice, your relationship with Krishna will automatically be established. And then, according to that relationship, you will find yourself in the spiritual sky. Soul's relationship with Krishna. And those relationship will be based on one of the five mellows. That's why they are called sthai ras, permanent mellows. Santa, neutrality, servitorship, friendship, parental, and conjugal. In one of the five mellows, the relationship will be established with Krishna. So, and give others some chance, because today is the last session. Yeah, Shashank, yeah, he has his hands up for a long time. What is the qualification to study Krishna's Braja Leela? Go according to Srila Prabhupada's syllabus. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, gradually from first canto, go up to ninth canto, and then enter into a tenth canto describing Braja Leela. That is the qualification. Not jump from nowhere to tenth canto. No. Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, step by step, come to the 10th canto. Right? Yes, Suresh. Yeah, because we are in a different age in Kali Yuga. In Kali Yuga, no one has that qualification to act like that. In Kali Yuga, the arrangements are very different. In Kali Yuga, we are used to just turn the switch, light comes up. Right? Press the tap, water comes out. Right? and so forth. So we are leading a life in such a way, from there to just going to the forest. You know, they won't survive for more than 2 days. Either they will run back to the city, to their home, or they'll be eaten up by some animals there. Right? Because they're not accustomed to that kind of life. So the process is all presented by the acharyas, is very practical to the consideration of the people of that time. In Satya Yuga, therefore, the process was in a certain way. Treta Yuga in some other way. Dwapar Yuga in some other way. And Kali Yuga in another way. Right? Therefore, okay, if you want to go to take Vanaprastha, as I mentioned, you don't have to go to forest. Just go to ISKCON temple. Right? Leave your, spend your Vanaprastha there. If you want to be a brahmachari, you don't have to behave in a certain way, like matted hair, wearing deer skin or tree bark, and not brushing your teeth. These are the requirements for brahmacharis. No, just join ISKCON and lead the life as a brahmachari, distributing books, cleaning the temple, and so forth. The main thing is not how we are living. The main consideration is how we are acting. And the consideration is, shift your mind from matter to Krishna's lotus feet. That is the goal of all ashrams and varnas. All right? So just become Krishna conscious. And again, once again, I will say, Prabhupada gave the process. Just follow the process. Although the scriptures are saying certain things, but Prabhupada is saying something else. And sometimes troubles start, actually. Somebody thinks, oh, Prabhupada, it happened. Prabhupada's process, what Prabhupada gave was not good enough. We went to India and we saw how the sadhus live. So they tried to introduce that point, that standard. And Prabhupada was furious. Why Prabhupada was furious? Because Prabhupada knew, you know, what is going to be practical for these people in America. And Prabhupada gave the process accordingly. Not even the way people live in ashrams in India. Prabhupada created ISKCON in such a way that the people from the West will feel comfortably situated and execute their spiritual life. Therefore, just follow Srila Prabhupada's process. What Srila Prabhupada gave is perfect, just follow that. And no change. Should not be any changing that system. This system should continue for generations after generations. Mangalartik at 4:30. Right? That's ISKCON standard all over the world. It is not that now it's only 4:30, 20 years after it's going to be 5:30, and then it'll be 6:30. No. 4:30 Mangalarti. Chant 16 rounds. Deity greetings. Guru Puja. Prasad. Breakfast. That's the standard that is being followed all over the world. And that standard will continue as long as ISKCON will be there. All glories to Shri Prabhupada.